Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Nothing to me says romance like looking for condoms and Hennessy.
She's the crazy one of the season.
And the drunk.
He calls her Naggy.
His shirt's open like a Colombian drug lord.
He does not like pizza.
Can we talk about the big, wide open fish mouth?
He's like a walking success poster.
Yeah. Hi, guys. Welcome to the Bachelor Podcast. I'm back after being under the weather. I had the flu, and I just want to say thank you so much, Ryan. You were fantastic taking over. I think you should really consider a full-time job in radio.
You know, maybe one of these days that'll happen, but until then, I will just happily be your caddy.
Someday.
I'm Christine Lee, along with Ryan Jones and Katie Pallotta. Hi, Katie.
Hi.
All right, so here we are back with the Bachelor Podcast talking about, well, two shows, The Women Tell All, which happened on Sunday night, and then the second-to-last episode of this season, The Fantasy Suite Night.
Plus Winter Games. Don't forget about Winter Games.
Plus, oh my, that was the worst show I've ever seen on television, ever. I hope they never bring that back.
We're going to have very different takes on that. So stick around. That's what we call a tease.
Well, let's get the Women Tell All out of the way since that happened first. In my opinion, I think there were really five big takeaways. I don't know what your thoughts are on this, but really it's Caroline confronting Ari, Crystal calling Ari a needle. Yeah. Becca talking about the age difference. Tia reacting to being sent home, which I'm back to disliking Tia. I think she's a mean girl. And Crystal sitting with Ari on the couch.
That was it in a nutshell.
Yeah, pretty much.
The big thing was supposed to be Caroline saying, you know, I know what you did. We're going to find out what he did. Watching the episode that we'll get to, one can assume what she's talking about, but
that he made a last minute decision and pissed somebody off.
Maybe.
Also, I heard something going around about a mixtape, which I didn't know people still made mixtapes, but this was on a USB stick and someone had given it to Ari and then he played it for another woman. And maybe that's what she's talking about. The internet has wild theories.
Sure does.
As he said, it'll play out over the next few weeks. So by this time next week, we should know the dun-dun-dun, what you did.
I would also like to point out that Bibiana has a lot of nerve chastising Crystal for her anger management problems when I believe Bibiana is the only one who physically threatened someone with violence because she didn't get her way.
Still love her, though.
Yeah.
I love Bibiana.
I do too, but I don't hate Crystal.
I really don't
hate Crystal.
She's the worst. I thought this hour made her look 10 times worse, which is hard to do because even when they're just all sitting there, she had to try to push herself while sitting there in front of everybody else just so she could look like she was in the front.
That. Yeah, she did.
She's being accosted by a group of mean girls who have collectively decided who the villain is. And so then the producers and editors
pick
it up and run
with
it.
She made herself the villain. Let's just make that abundantly clear. And even Ari is on the bus now, finally. After he saw what everyone else saw, he was very clear that she sucks and that she needs to go. He said it.
She was like, I felt like our goodbye was cold. And he goes, oh no, it was appropriate.
Yeah. And I thought he handled it perfectly because he finally saw, every week we would show up and we'd say, what does he see? Well, what he didn't see was her insulting all the women in the house, talking with that voice and calling him a needle. And everything else. And so he came out and he let her have it. And good for him because she's the worst.
She's not the worst.
I'm really glad that someone brought up the whole voice thing because I noticed right away that it was not a whispering voice like it was the entire season.
And that's another reason why she's the worst. She first said, I don't know what you're talking about. Oh, I mean, I was losing my voice. Oh, I can't do the voice. And then she did the voice.
Yeah.
So she's
And they're
the
like,
worst.
For a month and a half, you lost your voice.
I do like Ari's tweet where he said the reason why he couldn't talk about Crystal was a $5 million non-disclosure agreement. And the only thing that kept him to that NDA was a lot of wine.
Yeah.
So I guess he really couldn't talk about her.
And I think she, I don't know if she placed the whole, her whole brother who's not homeless anymore and
yes.
is with the family. Like she, it kind of looked like she, I don't know, wasn't going to bring it up or
she
was
going to
bring it up in the beginning and then it just got... She just started getting attacked.
I think what she did was she pulled an Omarosa rebranding, trying to make herself come across as a little bit more endearing to the audience by talking about the homeless brother who's now found a home thanks to Big Brother. I wouldn't change a thing.
Yeah. Well, and she just, like, threw it in there.
Yeah.
Like, all right, like, they were wrapping up, and then she's like, oh, and my brother's, like, not homeless anymore.
She has a heart. Give her a little bit of a break.
I'm not totally sure she does. But I'm glad her brother is not on the street anymore. Beyond that, I hope we never see her again. And this was the last that we ever need. Maybe if they do another bloopers reel at the end of the season,
okay.
Beyond what we saw at Women's Hall Hall, whatever.
We will see Becca on Bachelor in Paradise. We found that out. I know you guys are happy about that. And there was one other thing, and I can say this because I'm 46. I really thought Crystal looked very much closer to my age. And that's not, like, I don't think 46 is a bad age, but I just am stirring up a little birth certificate controversy. That's all I'm going to say.
I thought she always looked a little bit older.
Did she say she's in her 20s or?
29,
No,
think,
hell
right?
no.
Yeah,
hell
there,
no.
there's
the neck
no...
doesn't lie. The neck doesn't lie.
Especially a show that has put such an emphasis on age this year.
Yeah.
For her to be the healthy one that somehow is 29 but looks 49.
Thank you.
Again, like Christine said, not a bad age.
No.
But she ain't 29.
Thank you.
Or if she is, then there's nothing healthy going on there.
Yeah, so that was about it for the women tell all.
Well, and Tia and Becca going at it was sort of the other.
Not a fan of Tia, and that solidified me not really caring much for her. I really think she's just a mean girl. That's what I feel
like how
about.
She closed her conversation with, I'm now open and ready to find love.
Mm-hmm.
So that makes me wonder if she's in the running for The Bachelorette.
That was clearly her application right there.
And I think CN had a little bit of an audition type thing going on.
Of course she did.
I'm dating, but single.
Yeah.
What does that mean?
So, I mean, we'll see. But I do think Tia is in the running for Bachelorette.
Well, who else are you choose?
If I would have to assume based on, on the
tell-all. I'd be okay with CN too, but at least...
I would too.
Becca,
beyond those
I would
two?
Love to see Becca. She's hilarious.
But then the whole thing's going to be about the age.
Who cares? And she can date a bunch of older guys. That's what she seems to like.
I'd be fine with it, but they're not putting their Bachelorette on Paradise, so she's out
That's
of the
run. That's true. That's true.
Except in Nick's case.
You know, there is always an exception to every
That's
rule.
That's after the fact, though.
Yeah.
Well, on last night's episode, it was Ari telling the camera, let me make sure I get this right, there's more to Peru than Machu Picchu. This is during the Fantasy Suite episode, and I would say, why, yes, there is, Ari. You've told multiple women you love them. There was an ex-boyfriend who showed up to stir up trouble, and I'm pretty sure a total lack of sex, because even though they went in the Fantasy Suites, I'd be willing to bet that nothing happened. And that frustrates me, because, you know, what the hell else are we watching this episode for?
I could see that. I mean, I think probably something definitely happened with Kendall because they kind of hinted at that, I feel like. But with Becca and Lauren, I don't think much happened.
I'm just wondering, and this is my own personal opinion, that after Bachelor in Paradise, Corinne and DeMario, with that whole situation where lines were crossed, I'm wondering if now the show is trying to be extra cautious when it comes to that topic being shown on camera in any way, shape, or form.
Like, but it's sort of assumed anytime you take a fantasy suite that...
But people usually talk about it. It's usually a little bit more the jokes, the hints, the...
Right, with the first orgasm
and all that stuff.
Yeah, it definitely wasn't... Not much was talked about in that respect.
It was after. Like a 1950s movie where you just assume and you hint around, but you never mention it.
And they always joke about, well, we did a lot of talking, but... It's a joke because that is the first time in 2 months that they're able to take their mics off and there are no cameras. So there is something to be said about, okay, we can actually talk freely here and no matter what that's about. But I think all three of them got busy. So whatever.
All right, okay. Well, let's the episode kicked off with Kendall on the sand dunes riding the buggies and talking about meeting her family the week before.
Yeah, she was really anxious going into the date because, as she talked about through the entire episode, was that she knew she wasn't in the same place as the other girls, and she wasn't sure about being engaged at the end of this, but knew that the feelings were strong enough that she should still
be
there.
I'm sorry, are you a broken record? Because that was repeated the episode beforehand.
Yep.
It was this season's version of Peter. We talked about it last week and, you know, don't want it to end, but don't want to get engaged. And as we saw, it doesn't go as far as Peter did, but she is coming at it from a very different angle because A, she's, you know, still falling, and also very insecure about what's happening. And it's just a totally different vibe. I mean, the fact that she has to even say, well, I hope you're not just with me because I'm quirky and do taxidermy.
I wrote that down.
I was like, I doubt it.
I can promise very little about this show. I can promise, number one, he is not with you because you do taxidermy.
Well, he even mentioned it. He's like, it was a little weird at first, but I'm okay with it now. But, like, I doubted that was the reason why she was still around.
I think it's a positive that you stuffed rats together and he stuck around. I mean, that you can look at as a positive, but he's not with you because of that.
Oh, I wasn't on the episode that you guys recorded when you talked about the rats.
Gotta fill that rat skin.
You guys, I literally had to fast forward that. I could not watch it. I couldn't watch it.
It was a lot.
It was just way too much. That was impossible. But still.
He was a trooper.
He
did it.
But she told him that she was falling in love with him, and he reciprocated.
Still falling, though.
Okay.
Not the actual love.
Yes,
okay, but
very different.
I know we're splitting rat hairs here, but still, when a woman hears that, or even a guy hears it from a woman, doesn't matter. When you hear that, he's telling me that he's falling in love with me. That is serious stuff.
Not as serious as some.
Yeah. But no, I agree. Like, you still hear
love,
like, the love
you.
Word, yeah. And you just automatically associate it with.
He's serious.
Like, it's serious, and there's love coming from both ways. So,
right. Yeah.
If you're in the final three, of course it's serious. But for him and her to both still be in the falling stage when you're here, this is one of those deals where you're going to be watching this back and thinking, whoops.
It's not as, yeah.
But she did say yes to joining him in the fantasy suite.
Did a little fake out.
Yes.
I want to make sure, you know, that we don't go forward if it's just physical. But today was great, so yay!
Yeah, it was obviously going to end in a yes, but... Little fake out.
In the morning, they raved about all the things they had learned about each other and how they like their eggs, which the eggs seem to be a prominent
thing. How do you like your eggs, Christine?
I like them multiple ways, but generally sunny side up. Katie?
I like poached or sunny side up.
Ooh, poached like eggs Benedict. I forgot about that.
Excuse me.
Yes, yes.
I like scrambled too. I really like them anyway.
I know. You can't go wrong with eggs.
I'll just stick with over easy.
Over easy is good, too. Is it a deal breaker if someone you're with can't cook an egg? Because that's a problem.
Or if someone's allergic to egg, like my husband.
No.
Well, to be fair, he's allergic to everything.
Yeah, that's true.
So that doesn't really count.
Yeah. He's not allergic to Katie.
Well.
Sometimes.
Are we sure about that? I'm not so sure. But I think anybody can make an egg. Not anyone can poach an egg. I certainly can't. But
poaching eggs is easy.
Not as easy as dropping it in a pan and letting it fry.
You know what happens?
That's easy.
The biggest mistake people make with cooking eggs, and I do it all the time, is I put it at too high of a heat. I get my husband yells at me all the time because he knows how to cook really well, and I don't. He always comes over and lowers the heat on my damn pan. And I'm like, these are my eggs. Don't touch my... I'll cook them at a high heat if I want.
See how big of a deal this is?
It's
so
huge.
The fact that they covered eggs...
That's a huge step up.
Whether they had sex or not, that was much bigger than anything else.
But in the end, the eggs could not save Kendall. So did you guys see that coming?
Yes.
You did?
Yeah.
You knew?
Yeah.
That it was going to be curtains.
I didn't think she should have been in the final three, so
I did.
It was just a matter of time.
I thought she was the better choice.
And she was okay with it.
Yeah.
Too.
She's
like,
not right.
I mean, she's still upset. You're still going to be upset because you just got dumped on TV and going home, but like she knew and she was okay with it because she knew she wasn't as far as she should have been in this.
It was surprisingly friendly.
Platonic.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, yeah, there were
nice hug.
Like they, I think she just knew. Like
there's already memes on it, the internet of okay. Okay.
Basically.
Yeah, I think she was, I mean, obviously you wouldn't want to go home at that point, but I think she was expecting
surprised
it.
She got as far as she did.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah. Next up was Lauren's date.
We got a plane ride without puke, so that
took
was good.
A tour of
so much.
You know what, Katie?
Too much silence. Still.
I was just going to say the conversation went the normal way it has been going for Lauren and Ari, which is struggling to make conversation.
The entire date.
Beyond that. It's gone the exact same way as everything else.
Silence.
Total silence followed by, I'm so in love with you. What?
Yeah, that's just mind-blowing
to me. I still don't see how this math happens. She's a very good-looking girl. I'm sure she's very nice. But how you get from, this is really awkward, to, I'm in love with you.
I can't imagine life without you.
Where did this come from?
Well, but some people who are really good together like that, like, they don't want to have conversations and fill dead air because you don't need to. You know you're with your right person when you can sit in the car for 8 hours on a trip to wherever you're going and nothing has to be said and no one's mad and it's good.
Yeah, I mean, I think, but at this
stage
in the relationship, like, you still know nothing about each other, really.
How would
and
you
you're
know
still
she's...
so, like, wouldn't you want to be, I don't know, talking about, I don't know, where you're living now, what you do, like,
of
where
course.
Your childhood, I don't know, at this point.
How
like,
would you know she's mad, Ryan, when she's giving you the silent treatment?
Or probably she'd just probably actually be talking and, like,
the
yelling.
And the one time she was talking, she went the Vanessa route of, oh my God, I start thinking about these other girls as if she just now realized she's on The Bachelor.
Hello, welcome to the show.
It's one thing if you get there the first week and you say, oh, this isn't what I thought it would feel like. And at this point, you're the final three. It is cannot come as a shock because that's what happened with Vanessa. She was great, great, great. And then all of a sudden, the final two or three, she's, this is so hard. There are other women involved.
Well, you mentioned Kendall's insecurities. I think Lauren's insecurities were far worse. Like, I think they're more prominent about
questioning. Both were just coming from the wrong place.
Yeah.
Kendall thinking, oh, are you with me because I'm the quirky girl? And then Lauren thinking, oh, there are other relationships. It's
different kind of insecurities.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then she brought up the whole, like, I need to know that I'm the only one. And, like, you're still on The Bachelor. Like, it's not set in stone yet. Like, you don't know.
No, you're not the only one.
This is...
There's actually still other two people.
It would actually probably be a much more exciting show if they all thought they were the only one.
Yes.
And then at the end they said, oh, surprise, there are two other girls. But that's not this show. This show is very clear about what it is.
We should start that show.
That's a great idea, Ryan.
But this is very...
Sick. You are sick.
Well, I'm not the... Lauren's the one that's apparently sick because she has to think that she's the only one when there are multiple women involved.
Well, he solved the problem. I love you.
Can't lose you.
He's beating Ben. Ben Higgins said it to two women.
And that was Ben's biggest thing ever.
Yeah. And I contend Ari has set it to three. I know you contest how he set it to Kendall, but he...
No,
I would say 2.5.
Because if that's the case, then he said it's like 6 girls, because he said he was falling for many women.
He's the L word with Kendall.
Including the other Becca. I'm falling for you.
He used the L word with Kendall and falling in all in the same sentence.
Not the same thing.
It
2.25? Can we agree 2.25?
He still beat Ben's record. And that's not a good record to beat.
It is not. You don't want to be known for that.
Oh my gosh, poor Ben.
He definitely went.
Screw Ben. He's a crying bag of mess.
He definitely went more. He was all in with the I love yous as opposed to Ben, who said it. But I mean, Ari was, I'm so in love with you. I love you. I'm so glad I said it. Yes, it's true. It's okay. I love you. Dude.
And I feel like I don't know if he was planning on saying it to Lauren, but when she was like, I need to know I'm the only girl, I don't think I can do this with two others, like, I don't know if I can stay here, then he was like, oh, well, I love you and can't lose you.
And also,
like, don't go home.
I hope to see more of her tonight.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so I don't think he was, like, planning on that, but she, in a way, I think, threatened to leave.
Yes.
And he didn't want that to happen.
And then once
he pulled out the I love you.
And once he crossed the line, he just was like, well, I'm already here. Might as well shop in every aisle.
Yeah, and then he said it like.
You guys, he's also a very European style. You know these European guys. I love you. I love you. Well, darling, I have a woman in every port. He doesn't seem like that kind of guy. But, I mean, let's not discount it. You know, I love you could just be, you know, kiss, kiss on each cheek. Not a big deal.
Might not be as serious as past seasons or what we
I mean, you never
think.
Know. But they did make it to the fantasy suite. And was it silent?
Well,
probably.
I think it has more to do with his skills than if it was silent. But I think there was, like I said, all three, I think there's something going on.
I don't think anything happened.
But after the fantasy suite, her doubt was subsided.
So that
can't see him ending up with anyone else in the end.
Nah, I'm gonna argue with you on that one.
No, she did.
Oh, don't okay. Argue.
Yeah.
Wait, no, that's one of the few things she said.
I can't see, and so you know that's dun dun dun.
Speaking of dun dun dun,
Becca rounds out the week with the third date exploring Peru by, you know, on the water with
catamaran.
Ari.
They even did the Titanic and the whole deal.
Of course, they put the Titanic in almost every episode this season.
And you knew this date was
doomed.
Was going too smoothly.
Well, even she did the whole foreshadowing thing where she said, I can't remember the exact quote, something along the lines of, this is nothing could be better than this, or this is the greatest, or I don't know.
And you know when something like that is said, something's coming.
Right.
Well, let's not jump over the biggest thing that we were just talking about before we get to the dun-dun-dun, was this is when he finally went full Ben, and also told Becca that he loved her.
Yeah. They were planning their future. They were planning, I mean, their whole lives together, basically.
And he said, a part of me wants to just propose right now in the sand dune.
Yes. And so, well, I mean, it worked because she told Ari she's in love with him. And they agreed to the fantasy suite, which...
Fantasy tent.
Yeah, this is a little weird.
Which I would have been like really upset.
Got hotel rooms and she gets a tent.
Yeah.
Or a teepee, whatever.
I've seen some pretty nice luxury four-star.
Yeah, I mean, it looked nice, but
it's just weird.
It's not what you picture when you say fantasy suite on The Bachelor. You don't picture a tent.
And what's the security like at a place like that?
Well, you're in the middle of a sand dune in the desert, so... That's probably not much security is needed.
And full silhouette? I don't know.
And guys, sand gets everywhere. It is impossible to get it out. It takes weeks, literally weeks, to get sand out of places that you didn't even know you had. And then forget about putting the stuff in the laundry, in the washing machine. You're going to ruin your machine.
Yeah.
You know?
Not the best location.
It could have been a very painful night then. Who knows? But
a lot of chafing.
It was probably definitely painful.
But even if you doubt what happened with Lauren or what happened with Kendall, Becca's the only one where they had, and this is common throughout the season with them, that had a real conversation about what's next and about moving. And he basically said, you know, we could do long distance, but I would like you to move to Scottsdale, which she didn't object to. Usually, if you're going to go to finally be able to talk about things without microphones around, they ain't got nothing else to talk about. So,
I mean, he already bought her Christian Louboutin shoes, and that was date number one for her.
That was basically the first time that they met.
That's why she got the tent, because their very first date was Christian Louboutins and a whole new wardrobe.
Gotta go cheap.
Probably.
And lobster.
You gotta see if you still like her when you're in the middle of the desert.
She got the good stuff already.
It's true.
So now he wants to see if she can handle the rugged side.
And then after the ruggedness, that is when it was, this is perfect. And nothing could go wrong, literally.
I'm the happiest girl.
Yeah, like, literally nothing could go wrong.
And then it's...
No, man, I just want to see... I got to see my girl. No, I got to see my girl.
Proposal to give her.
Did anyone else just think of Ross from Friends the second you heard the name Ross?
Don't insult Ross Geller by putting the schmuck in the same sentence.
You got to hand it to the guy. I mean, despite the fact that the producers probably contacted him and paid for his flight over, you still got to hand it to the guy. He gets on a plane, he goes over, he really throws his reputation out the window, doesn't care about anything. He follows through and wants to propose to the woman he just can't forget.
A lot of people, it seems like, on Twitter wants him to be the next Bachelor.
Well, because he's fun. He's not boring. He's good looking. Ryan's shaking his head.
There's nothing about Ross that I enjoyed. Not a thing.
So they met when they were in college and he was a football player. And now, presently, he's a strength and conditioning coach for Stanford.
Of course he is.
Which is a good gig, by the way.
Is it?
Yeah, I mean, that's a big program.
Okay. So he's intense. He is an intense dude. You have to be intense to have that job.
There's just so much wrong with what he did, and I don't care. We can talk about producers and all that, but being willing to do this, because everything he said just sounded so hollow. He's like, oh, I can't think of, you know, all I could think about is you. Where you been for a year? You wait until there are cameras around to run and profess your love?
And you find out she's on a show that ends in a proposal.
Which he didn't know ended in a proposal?
Yeah.
Come on.
And he only
never
found out a week ago?
Ever.
I'm pretty sure if somebody that you knew, let alone dated for 7 years, was on The Bachelor or Bachelorette, you would know about it pretty quickly.
It would get to you by some point.
Really quickly.
And dating someone for 7 years who won't commit to you, you think a reality show is going to get them to commit to you now? I mean...
Well, did he really think that she was just going to be like, you know what, you're right, I do want to get back with you.
I stayed with you for 7 years and nothing.
Yeah.
And let's give Becca a lot of credit here, because she... The minute the door opened, there was no in between.
No, she was, oh, hell no.
Yeah, no. Wouldn't even let him come in the room to have the conversation. You know, can we sit on these stairs, whatever? Like, no. I mean, she said no more than she said anything else to him.
Which was good, because it could have led to, let's go, like, come in and we'll sit down in here and have a talk. And that's just a welcoming gesture, and you don't want that.
This isn't the first time they've used an ex to stir up trouble on The Bachelor. Ryan and I were trying to remember which season. It was JoJo when she was a contestant on Ben's season with the letter from the ex, which led to miraculously she had a cell phone and was able to make a phone call.
Well, miraculously he got to Peru.
Sure.
I think we know where the miracles are coming from, but at least in this case, or in that case, it was just a letter. And then we could talk on the phone and say, no, leave me alone.
But that letter caused more problems than Ross actually just showing up did, because you could say that Becca probably handled things a little bit better in that instance. And JoJo may have still had some feelings. I don't know.
Yeah. I'm glad he wasn't more persistent, because then it would have just gotten more uncomfortable. Like, he, in a way, kind of took the no for an answer. I mean, he persisted a little bit, but He kind of got the idea and was like, all right, then staring up at her for a little while longer than he probably should have. Yeah, but he wasn't like, no, like, I'm not leaving. And it could have got really ugly.
He knew what his role was. He was supposed to go there. He was supposed to add drama to a relatively drama-free season.
Right.
Now that Crystal's gone, we have no one to cause trouble. All these girls are super nice. Everyone gets along. Ari is like milquetoast. He really doesn't do anything. He doesn't even parade around showing off abs or anything. He's just an all-around nice guy.
Well, he probably doesn't have any.
In a white t-shirt.
Yeah.
He's working on his dad bod.
Gonna go play soccer. So Ross played his role, and now everyone's talking about him, and I'm sure it's not the last. Do you think it's the last we'll see of that guy?
No, I'm sure he'll pop up somewhere. I mean, maybe they'll send him to paradise. I mean,
what does a guy like that get paid to do that on reality TV?
A free trip to Peru. I think
you don't think there was compensation in any way?
No. Maybe if it got to like a certain level of like.
Well, if she left with him, then maybe we'd pay for X, Y, or Z.
So they comp him his airline. They comp him his hotel.
And that's it.
And his food. His per diem. Maybe. He's not going to have to pay his own food.
Maybe.
Maybe they rented him a suit.
Maybe. Yeah, because that's a good point. I don't think strength and conditioning coaches are running around like that.
He looked pretty put together.
And when he went to see Ari, I thought Ari handled it well because he could have also flipped off the handle and, you know, started throwing stuff around. But I thought he was very clear. He said, okay, well, does she feel that way about you? And just very level-headed about it.
He's a level-headed guy. I haven't seen Ari.
You know, he let it go a little when he left and was like, this guy's got the biggest balls, or he's just effing crazy.
Yeah, nerd. Effing nerd, I think, is. That's the worst that Ari can come up with.
Pretty much.
Wow, good job, bro.
But at the rose ceremony, though, Becca still made the cut despite Ross trying to stir up trouble. And Ari pulls Kendall aside.
Second week in a row.
Ryan. And lets her save face, I suppose, instead of being in front of everyone to tell her that you're going home.
Yeah,
Katie's not sure about that.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, maybe he could have done it. Like, I feel like it was a decision already made, and he maybe could have done it before they got ready for a rose ceremony.
Yeah,
but. You know, maybe she wasn't expecting it in that moment because he did the same thing the week before and she was safe.
Right.
But, I mean, I think they both knew that she was the one going home that day.
Yeah, if you're going to have a rose ceremony, have a rose ceremony. If you're not going to have a rose ceremony, then...
Yeah, like, it was no fun that he gave the two roses to Becca and Lauren. No one else was standing there. But like, it was pointless.
That's his personality, you guys. He has not deviated from his personality. In fact,
that's true.
It's kind of, maybe it's perfect that he's a race car driver because you think that these people who are adrenaline junkies are going to be absolutely insane when they're not in their field. And the ones who live at being a race car driver are actually the ones who are very controlled and stoic and follow everything by the letter, the rule. Because if you are an insane person and you're a race car driver, you won't last long in that business. You'll end up in a track in a hospital, like everything broken. So it kind of at first I thought it was opposite of how you would think a race car driver would be, but actually that's probably the way you need to be to live doing that sport. Or anything else, fighter. You can't be this drunken idiot and then have an adrenaline-fueled job. In no way.
True.
So, you know, he's a pretty down-to-earth dude.
And then all three of them watch the sunset together, which is so awkward.
Every year, though, that's the weirdest scene because when you're finally down to two, not that it's not real before, but, I mean, okay... There's no, okay, you or you, or even when Tia was in the Final Four and she's trying, well, I think we're the best grouping.
Yeah, like one of you is going to be engaged and then the other is, you're just going to go home.
Yeah.
So It's a weird situation.
There's either the group hug, which is awkward, or at least this was more just a sort of let's watch the sunset, and they got the shot from behind. I don't know. That's always one of the weirdest scenes.
Ryan, you've got me thinking about this new reality show thing because at the same time that the Women Tell All was on, Celebrity Big Brother finale was on, and I was going back and forth between the two. And you know, in Celebrity Big Brother, any Big Brother, they make these alliances. What if the women actually set out from the beginning to have alliances to get to the final two? That we work together to tag team him, and I'll help you talk to him, and you help me talk to him, and we will. Can you imagine? That'd be good.
That'd be a good show.
They're going to tag team him.
Okay, Ryan.
Okay.
You right there, buddy?
That depends who we're
Mine's
talking
in the
about.
Gutter.
Next week's two-night finale, Chris Harrison warned us that it's going to be unlike anything that's ever happened on the show before, which everything has already happened on the show before.
The most dramatic finale ever.
Okay.
We'll just have to see.
Katie, you're the expert on this show. What has not ever happened on this show before? That could happen.
I don't know. I mean,
he proposes
very few.
To both?
Very few things.
We have sister wives? I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah, that hasn't happened.
One of them's pregnant.
That would be amazing.
That one of them's pregnant, and then he marries both, and they all live together.
Or they get married on the spot.
Yeah.
He could. Impregnates one, but
marries
proposes
the
to the other. And so he finds out.
Yeah, that has not happened.
He finds out after the proposal that she's pregnant.
And Mari Povich comes on and says, "You are the father."
Yeah, we're just that hasn't happened. Right. So maybe
that Ross is the father.
Oh,
that could happen. That hasn't not happened.
We'll have to wait and see and find out like with the rest of the world. But
we did get to see some actual engagement. Action.
Yes. Oh, are we going back to that horror show, The Winter Games?
The Winter Games, before we get ready for the finale of The Bachelor.
Before we close out this award-winning episode of The Bachelor Podcast.
Let me just say.
Go ahead.
When I started watching The Winter Games.
It sucked.
It was awful.
Right.
Agreed.
I thought it was one of the worst things I've ever seen on television.
Yes.
There was zero redeeming anything.
How many ways can you say it sucked?
It was awful. And then they got to the competitions.
Oh, God.
And I actually think that this could lead to them improving Paradise. Right. Because, and I know, Katie, you were a fan of the Bachelor Pad when they made them compete.
Yep.
And I don't know why you can't have them do this on the beach. And you don't even need to wait until Summer Games, which you know they're going to do in 2 years.
Survivor and Big Brother. And they have
showmances. Yeah, but those guys aren't all banging.
They do too.
Sometimes, not all of them.
Excuse me, Cody and
These
Vanessa
are people you
just
know.
Got engaged over the, you know, showmances happen.
But this
True.
Is this is a
but this is
romance
the actual
show,
basis.
Just,
oh yeah. God, it was the worst thing I've ever seen. It was so hard to watch. I thought it was horrifying.
I enjoyed it so much more as it went along.
Oh God.
And especially considering that we had actual relationships come out of this, which. What were they there? 3 weeks?
What was it?
It was a short. Yeah.
Benoit and
Claire.
Claire got engaged. And
on the after show.
That was a big ass Neil Lane ring because I thought Neil Lane rings, the size of the diamond was in direct correlation to the popularity of the show, which Bachelor
Well, I thought
Winter
she
Games,
was. She's
crap.
A pretty strong alum.
Okay.
With Bachelor Nation.
So
which
she,
was before. I think you both started
so you had
watching.
To bump up
that
the
upped
ring.
The value of the ring.
Yeah, like she was on The Bachelor with Juan Pablo.
Ugh. Oh, the poor thing.
And
so
then
she deserved
Paradise, and then Paradise twice.
Okay.
So, and now Winter Games, so they're probably like, all right, you're done. Here's the biggest ring.
And Ashley I apparently went all the way.
They're not
talking about it.
But
you're friends with Ashley, Katie. Why can't you get her on the phone?
But usually, when you don't talk about it, you're basically saying, like, did you? Well, we're gonna. That's a yes. Okay, let's move on. But they're still together. They were just at a hockey game the other day. So they.
She's a Bachelor success story, as she says.
Dean seems to have found.
Oh yeah, Dean.
His other half.
Dean would be good with Kendall the taxidermist, actually.
Can we not create another triangle
I actually
for him?
Like Dean and Leslie together. Throughout Winter Games, Dean was acting like himself, how he did in Paradise. and was like not sure of anything and not giving straight answers, and that was annoying. But he, I think, got over that, and
she called him out on his crap.
Yeah, and she finally, someone just like called him out on it, and he's like, he was probably like, all right. It's not working out for me that way.
I really enjoyed seeing Hannah Storm, one of the greatest broadcasters. And you know what? It's no wonder that the Winter Olympics, the actual Winter Olympics ratings were awful, because Hannah Storm wasn't
They definitely went top shelf with the announcing. And
she's one of my favorite people.
I kind of wish they would have, and I like Chris, but I kind of wish they would have gotten a top shelf guy as well, like a real sports broadcaster.
Wasn't doing anything.
Well, wrong network, but I know. Any big ABC guy.
Sure. Chris Harrison wasn't going to give that up.
Well, so. Yeah, that's the good, because he didn't really have anything else to do.
Yeah.
Not that he really ever does, but it would have been nice to do a full sports broadcast of
He's got the eye roll down, I'll say that.
And then we got to see Luke end his bachelor career. Because he showed that he's just there for the cameras, and those were not Luke's from the crowd. Those were full on boos, and he showed his true colors. And so, peace out, buddy.
I was surprised about that. Yep. He had me fooled.
Me too.
He had me fooled. It was like A2 Luke. Come on.
Well, it was because I watched the tell all like the day after. So, and I know Winter Games doesn't really have a lot of spoilers, so it was fine to go through Twitter, and everyone was just hating on Luke, and I was like, what must have happened? So when I watched it, and he was on the couch with Stassi and was talking with Chris Harrison, I was like, oh, this is what everyone's talking about, like, that's not that bad. And then Chris Harrison called for a commercial break, and they didn't stop filming Luke and Stassi, and I was like, nope, done. That's what everyone's talking about, and I'm done with Luke.
The cameras are always rolling.
Like, Crystal found that out, too, when she was talking off camera.
No matter what you guys say, you will not make me dislike Crystal. I think she had a horrible moment. I think she's not as bad as...
I stumbled and fell.
I think Tia is worse. She's a mean girl, and she corralled everyone to gang up on Crystal.
Well, whenever
Crystal
they do,
was just defending herself.
Whenever they come back for Winter Games, I hope that they don't include Crystal. But there was one other couple, the two that went cross country.
Courtney and Lily.
How cute were they?
They are adorable, and I love them.
We got some Kiwis falling in love, getting an RV, which is so dangerous to think of.
The pictures that they're posting are
awesome.
Just adorable, and I love them. But no one mentions that there's a 10-year age difference there either.
Because when it works, it works.
Years,
31, 31 and 21.
When it works, it works. Doesn't matter.
This is true. But 14 is different from 10.
Yeah, true.
I mean, seriously.
But Lauren's 25. Is she that much more mature than Becca because she's 22 or 23 now?
I really like Becca, and I'm glad we're going to see her on Bachelor in Paradise. Yeah. She's a cutie. She was funny. It was funny that her mom called in to check on her and make sure she was okay. So now we're just going to have to wait to see what's never happened before happen on the big two-night
sister
tonight.
Sister wives.
Marry them both at the same time. Great idea.
What an ending.
Find us online across all social media platforms. We're on the Bachelor Podcast, at Bachelor Podcast, on Facebook, on Instagram, on Twitter. I'm Christine Lee. No more flu for me. Katie, thank you.
Thankfully.
Yeah. Ryan Jones.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.